A61, number 15B.
All right. Now, up to now we had a very great sense first established of the identity of being, identity which covers subject and object, so that we can see that everything in being, principle and idea, therefore the synonymous term and its ideas, have identity, that they have self-sameness, that they are always that which they are and never lose their identity, their self-same qualities, therefore that the identity of being is always represented through the identities of being, being small b naturally. And now we see that another aspect of soul is what you have next on your list, spiritual understanding. Yesterday we said we must see the difference between spirit understands and spiritual understanding of soul. How did it get to understanding yesterday? We start with mind, namely.
Knowing.
Mind knows. And then how do we come to spirit? To understanding. And how does that link spiritually? Why does now spirit become understanding and no more knowing?
Separates what it knows. Discernment.
It's discernment, yeah. It discerns what it knows. Hmm? What else did we see there?
It separates what it knows and doesn't know.
It has the ability, huh? To discern and to separate what it knows, what it does not know, what it knows to be right, what it knows not to be right, and therefore through that distinguishing faculty you get a better stand on which to stand, a better understand, yes, so that you are sure in understanding why that which you know is right and real, yes? And now, Mrs. Eddy always associates spiritual understanding with soul, not with spirit. Now why? What is the difference?
Because
is there such a big difference? Yes?
Because it's more definite, you have already defined.
Yes, it's more definite. Now, would you feel that spiritual understanding is something that is more definite than understanding? Yes? What do you feel inwardly, even if you can't quite express it in definite words, what you feel inwardly is the difference between understanding and spiritual understanding? Have you a feeling how what the difference is? Yeah? Here?
I feel when I spiritually understand, I know.
Yes, yes. I think you feel the right thing, huh? Though you define it now with mind, huh? But there is something in it, yeah? Yeah? Yes, Judy?
Well, when you're at the point of spirit and you're understanding it's the difference between good and bad or right or wrong. It's a dualistic type of thing. And when you come in the soul, you've gotten rid of the bad, and this is definite, this is pure, and this is what it is, and there is no other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You take that other off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a purely spiritual understanding.
Uh-huh.
Purity.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Huh? Rick?
I was just going to say, perfect to that point, that you can know something without understanding it. You can understand something without accepting it. But to spiritually understand it denotes a degree of identification and acceptance of it, of one with it. Yeah. I feel I can understand something, but I haven't made it my own.
Absolutely.
I get this big sense with this spiritual tone of spiritual understanding. Buster, you're there.
Yeah.
I am. My identity is spiritual understanding.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Huh? You get it now, huh?
When
absolutely.
When it's spiritual, it's unchangeable.
Yes. Is understanding changeable? Understanding of spirit changeable? But what you feel is the thing that becomes that understanding which is still somehow weighing between right and wrong, huh? And making decisions. What is and what is not. Huh? In spiritual understanding, you are identified with that understanding, and that understanding, a spiritual understanding, is yourself, and it speaks out of yourself. You don't have to make any more decision. Huh? It is so, you are so the representative of that which is to be known, huh? That it speaks within you. Huh? That it is a present knowledge, huh? A constant capacity to know. Huh? Yeah. It is therefore that which, if you come across a situation which is not right, what is that which tells you that it is not right? Huh? It is actually
spiritual
understanding and not understanding. Huh? Spiritual understanding. Because only then, when everything that is of the nature of God is identified within our consciousness, as the representative within our consciousness, only then it reacts automatically towards something which is not right. Huh? That spirit, that which acts automatically as understanding, and says, this does not coincide. I still don't have that term which I still seek for about half an hour, which is not congruent. Huh? We don't say congruent so much, huh? Which does not coincide, which does not
ring true.
Huh? Spiritual understanding tells you when something rings true or not. Huh? Yeah. Understanding of spirit makes decisions. And it weighs. Spiritual understanding just tells you, does it ring true or doesn't it ring true? It is so identified with the truth and so identified with testifying to the right that it at once resounds within the consciousness and says something is right and something is wrong. And you know, that's what Edith tried to say, you know what you know. You know without a process of reasoning, you know what you know what is true. Yeah.
It also makes you feel secure in that.
Absolutely, huh? Spiritual understanding makes you secure. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Question. To the uneducated, undeveloped consciousness, it has the capacity to believe or to understand. Now, is this transition when one gives up belief come under what you'd call spirit, or is it a point where you wander through this area of soul and find your identity and thereby recognize it, and of course belief then ceases?
Yes, I would put that belief and understanding as opposed, huh? Whereas spiritual understanding is the faculty to know without reasoning, huh? It's that faculty where the divine is so represented in one sense that it understands, that it reacts at once. See, that's you know this situation. You come into a situation, you hear something, and without reasoning about it, you just know, now we come to this, you just know it's wrong. You don't have to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. it resounds in you. You have a sounding board within you which is so in agreement with reality, with the identities of being, that it just says, oh no, this doesn't belong into in. This does not conform. Now I got it. It's not in conformity. Now I got it. That's so. Which is not in conformity with the identities of being. Just said, no. You know, you don't have to think twice. It resounds. It's that spiritual understanding. Understanding, she says, is a line of demarcation. You see? Spiritual understanding is not a line of demarcation. Just as Judith, I think, wanted to bring it, did bring it out, this is really, it's not a line of demarcation, spiritual understanding. It just resounds or it does not resound. It is representing or not representing. If it's representing, it says yes. If it does not find within oneself the representative identity, it just says, this isn't the thing. Yeah. Okay. Then we have a few other ideas about soul. The next one is that the greater controls the lesser. Yes, the greater controls the lesser.
I think we've hit them. Soul is outside body.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Good. Soul is outside the body, she says. And she says that in various ways. I just read a few. That soul is not in finite form, she says, that soul is not in the body, that soul is greater than the body. We can just go on with the next one, that soul is never in anything. She says that soul is not confined in man, is not confined in matter. She says soul never enters or leaves the body. Yeah. How do we reconcile these aspects with soul?
Because soul is greater.
Soul is greater. Greater than the body. Yes.
It's the ruler of soul.
Yes. But you always answer through the statements of Mrs. Edith itself. You always answer through statements of Mrs. Edith itself. Yeah.
When the soul is representing the nature of God,
it yes.
cannot be in
any finite. Yes. So if soul is never without its representative, then therefore the representation must be the self-sameness. Therefore it can never be limited, can never be confined in, can never be represented through its opposite, which is body. Naturally we have to know the opposite of soul. Yes? Which naturally comes to the point of what? Has man a soul?
No.
No? Doesn't he have a soul?
No. Black
he is.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't man have a soul? Of course he has a soul. It all depends what we understand on the soul. Sure, God is the soul of man. Yeah? Again, Has man a soul? Bill says, of course he has. But we have not said what kind of a soul he has. We only have been playing with words up to now. So we have to define what kind of a soul he has. Now, most people think man has a soul and and think that that soul is in the body. See? Can you see now why Mrs. Eddy brings in soul as outside the body, as not being in the body, why soul is not in matter, that there is no in? Because the whole belief in soul is always that soul is in something. That soul is in body, afterwards leaves the body somewhere, I don't know where it goes, to heaven or to hell, or wherever that is, nobody knows, but theologians know it. So we have to set this whole concept right, you see. We shouldn't say man does not have a soul, because he has a soul, but God is his soul. Just as man has a mind, but that mind is God. Just as man has a spirit, but that spirit is God. Huh? And now, we come really to soul, where we have to see that the belief is that soul is in body. And so we have to correct that, and Mrs. Eddy corrects it and says, therefore, consider soul as unlimited, therefore outside of body, never in something. Yeah?
Well, in theology, the belief is that soul can be lost.
Or even lost, huh?
Yes. I think that has a lot to do with her writing.
With her writing, yeah?
The emphasis, the great emphasis on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we can take that, huh? Can soul be lost? We have seen no soul is identity. We see that identity is self-sameness. Therefore, soul can never, nothing in being can get lost. Huh? We can never lose it. It can never come and go. And so we get a terrific sense of the ever identity of being. Huh? Yes. You look at me quite flabbergasted a little bit. No?
Well, Max, huh? If we had no soul, we'd merely be a blob.
Yes? That's Ruth?
Well, these terms, mind, spirit, soul, half-alive, are in the singular. But for the human sense, every individual is supposed to have a mind, a spirit, and a soul. And so there are as many mind, spirit, souls as there are individuals, and it's that pluralistic concept that just is completely dissipated when we see there's one mind and one spirit and one soul that is reflected but not confined, not an individual possession.
Mm-hmm. 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 And though it has identity, huh? And the human concept is always that everything that has identity must be limited. A tree that has identity is limited. Everything that seems to be to have identity seems to be limited. Huh? And in the spiritual, you see that if mind and spirit are a quality that man has, in a capitalized sense, then we must see it in soul, that it is never limited by anything. And limited means in. Hmm? So you have Mrs. Eddy's concept that in is obsolete in science, the term in. Hmm? It's absolutely obsolete in science. Now, what has that all to do? Can you conceive of being and of your universe, of your true universe, without a sense that it is in something? Usually you believe that it is in something, that life is in plants, in animals, in people, that intelligence is in people, in the brain. Yes? That mind is in people. Do we actually see that mind and spirit are never in anything? This is a great question. We always try to find that life is in the body. And woe if life is no more in the body. Just the tears are just running down. And we are sad and we are downcast. And we say, he has died. Just because life is no more in body. Because mind is no more in body. Aren't we funny people? Aren't we funny? We learn for all our life in the textbook that mind and spirit is never in anything, and then the moment it's no more in anything, we are very sad. We are absolutely inconsequent. That's the trouble about Christian Science, that we have such difficulty in being consequent. You say consequent, yes? About the teaching. Consistent. Huh? Yeah. So, soul is that terrific big concept of being, which begins to teach us, now look here, there you make your mistake. You always try to find the reality, whatever it is, in something. Must always be in something or you're not happy. You always want to limit it into matter. And soul begins to teach us, no, the identities of being are incorporeal, they have no body. They are not in body, in matter, in men, in the universe, in anything. They are never in. Therefore she tries to show, which is not, again, a difficulty of language, she says, soul is without the body. Actually, soul is not without the body, because then what would be there where the body is? See? So finally she must somehow say it's within and without. Just to give more and more the sense, gosh, let go of that sense, you know, of in and outside, inside and outside. But this is a terrific claim in the human mind, an absolute terrific claim. If we could free ourselves at the point of soul, that the identities of being are absolutely incorporeal. No body, no man, no universe, no matter, no limitation in any way possible, we would be free. What means free? To be without limitation. Do you have freedom as an idea of soul? Yeah? Huh? Do you see why? Yeah? Huh? Do you see what freedom means? Freedom means not to be wild, and to do whatever we like to do. But freedom means that there is no human corporeal restriction on the identities of being. That that which is as self-sameness of being is never within anything, never in anything. And that's the true freedom. Yeah?
Well, Max, would this be correct to think of soul as an active, individualized expression, perhaps continuously active, individualized expression of ideas?
I wouldn't.
Why not?
Because that's life, truth and love. Soul only comes first and shows that these ideas of which you tried to speak, have an unchangeable identity that are absolutely limitless. The expression of the idea is life, truth and love. The activation of the ideas, the operation of the ideas, the healing mission of the ideas, the fulfilling mission of the ideas is life, truth and love. Soul and you go through the ideas of soul, see, go to the textbook, not to our concept of Christian Science. Go to the textbook and ask the textbook. The textbook doesn't give you a single indication of that. It only says, soul tells to every idea that mind creates that it is unchangeable, that it has the nature of God in its absolute congruity, conformity, and that it is unchangeable. Nothing more than that. Only when principle comes in, it says, principle says, now I take these identities of being, I am going to do something with them. That's the operation of principle. Yeah, it comes later. So can you see why, it's quite good, Don, that you brought that up. Can you see why in the definition of God, with mind, spirit, soul, and in the middle principle, and life, truth, and love. Really, mind, spirit, and soul only first define the nature of your identities of being, the nature of what reality consists of. Then comes principle and says, what am I going to do with these elements of mind, spirit, soul? What am I going to do with them? Then principle says, I am going to operate with them. They are my ideas, and I'm going to do something with these elements. What I'm going to do with them? I'm going to express themselves. They must be living ideas, life. They must be truthful ideas, and therefore correcting, error-correcting ideas. And they must be ideas that thrive at the terrific, big plan of fulfillment, love. So that the first three you can see define the nature of God, mind, spirit, soul. Only the nature. Whereas principle defines the operative ability of God. And through that operation of God, life, truth, and love say the demonstration of those of the principle and says what is being demonstrated, what is being manifested with them. Yeah? So it helps quite a bit. You see, to see that as long as we are staying with mind, spirit, soul, we are only going to define, at the point of soul, to define to ourselves the nature of God. The nature of God is what? Ideas of mind. These ideas of spirit are what? They are the only substance. They are substantial. What kind of substance? And soul says, it's a substance that never changes, is absolutely definable, but never changes. And you have your tools.